He's working. Cool. You ready for the podcast? Good. All right. I'm Wendell. I'm living loved by Jesus. I'm actually learning what that means. And you know, I thought of the other day, you talk about learning to live loved by Jesus. You really need to learn to live loved by everybody. You know, just I'm learning to live loved. I lived the whole rest part of my life feeling like I was unlovable. And so now I'm unlearning that and learning how to live as if I'm loved, because people do love me. And yeah, and you come here and this is the place to come and be loved. So let's not apologize for that. Let's celebrate that, you know. It's a place to be loved. And I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to food, work, and control. I've had issues with pornography, with alcohol, with rage, with depression, with panic, and a host of other things. So, thanks. Love you too. Me and Greg are brothers. Yeah. You know, I've been thinking lately about the things that connect humans with each other. And we talked about this in the gathering this morning. By the way, the gathering is getting better every Sunday morning. I mean, this Sunday morning is like, whoa. It was really, really cool. And it was just one of those moments where you thought, man, I'm so glad that I'm here and can soak this in. But we talked about this a little minute today in the gathering. But there's certain things that seem to connect humans with other humans. If you ask somebody certain questions about what's your favorite fruit or what's your favorite color or where were you born or whatever, that's an informational question. And it might connect you to a certain extent, but not this deep connection. But there's certain things that really connect us as humans on that heart level, that soul-to-soul level. And one of the things is beauty. We talked about that a little bit this morning. We may talk about that in a couple weeks. Another thing is love. Not Hollywood gushy love, but real love, true love, that connects us. But another thing that connects us is pain. We find a connection there. And so I started thinking about these three things, and we talk a lot about grace. Wayne and I, along with JB, are doing a podcast called On Grace, and that was called. We do it every Wednesday, and it's posted every Thursday or Friday, I think, on the website, on the Broadway website. But we've been exploring grace, and I thought, okay, so where is the grace in pain? Because we see the grace in beauty, duh, and we see the grace in love, duh, but we start talking about pain, and we say, well, where's the grace in pain? Because most of us are here because we have hurt in some way or another. We've been hurt, or we are hurting, or we realize the rest of our life we're going to be hurting. We live in chronic pain of some sort or another. So where is the grace in pain? And the first thing that I would say is it's not in the cliches. Don't you just love it when you're bleeding out and somebody gives you, here's a nice cliche. You know, well, it could be worse. You know, well, at least it's not as bad as so-and-so over there. Don't you love that one? Or sometimes people say, well, I must be doing something right for Satan to attack me like this. We got it figured out some way that if we're in pain, that means that we're under attack from the evil one because we're doing something right, or maybe we did something wrong, we're getting punished, I don't know. Or the favorite of mine is, well, there's a reason for everything. You know, God has a purpose for this, and there's a reason for this. And all these cliches do is they leave me saying, where is the grace in this pain? None of those cliches answer that question. And some of these cliches actually disrespect other people who are in worse pain than we are. That's disrespectful to them to say, well, at least it's not as bad as so-and-so over there. That's disrespectful to that person. So to find the grace in pain, I don't think we need to look in the cliches that are, you know, people just whip out on us. I think we need to realize that it is a part of life. Jesus told his disciples right before he left, he said, in this world you will have trouble, period. Why organized religion has sold the bill of goods that if you hook up with Jesus, your life will be blueberries and you know, cotton candy and sunshine and everything's going to be good. I don't know how we made that connection when Jesus himself said, in this world you'll have trouble, and he certainly had his share. So, you know, how do we make that? So pain is here. We have to deal with it. As we've said, it's one of the primary relational connectors between people. You ask somebody their favorite actress or whatever, you know, you're not hooked up. Tell me about your pain. Tell me your story. Tell me how you hurt. Tell me how you got hurt. You know, tell me how it felt. Tell me what you've done about your pain. Have you dealt with it? Have you medicated it? Have you gotten hooked on your medication? Have, you know, talk about your pain. You have connection there. Especially if they know that you've had pain. Especially if they know that you've gone through similar things. That's why this is a family. Because we're all addicts. One thing or another, you know, whether it's substance or not, we're all addicts. And we've all done what we had to medicate the pain. So we come here and talk about pain. And that's a common, that's our language. We can talk about that. That's why in a couple weeks, I would like for us, by the way, we're having a lestimony next week. Andrew Tagliabacci is going to share his lestimony, so it's going to be good. But in 2 weeks, I would like for us to explore the connection we have when it comes to beauty and when it comes to love. Because sometimes, I'm going down a rabbit trail, by the way. I never do that. But I want to just tell you that's what I'm doing. Because I so rarely do it. But if we're not careful here in Pathway, the only thing that will connect us is our pain. And that's not what we want. That is a good connector. It's an effective connector. But that's not all we want. So I want us to begin to learn how to connect with beauty and to connect with love and some of the more positive things as well, not just negative. Because sometimes this can become a pain contest. Sometimes it can be, well, that I appreciate your story, but that ain't nothing. We've talked about this before. You never have been hurt like I've been hurt. Well, that ain't nothing. You know, the first liar doesn't stand a chance. Everybody's got a bigger story as you go along. And so it becomes a pain contest. And we need to understand that pain is one of our connectors with each other. But we got to understand that that's not all we have that connects us. But let's explore this pain. For some reason, when I was looking into this week, the story of Jacob came to my mind. I've always been fascinated with Jacob. We talk about the Bible as being the holy word of God, and we think that everything in there is perfect and the way that we ought to be, and it's ideal and everything. Look at Jacob's family. Look at his family of origin. His mother taught him to lie. His mother taught him to steal. Not out in public, but against his own brother. You know? This is in the same tent, you know? And she taught him to steal from his brother and to cheat his brother and to lie. And he goes away in fear of his life and lives with his uncle, his mother's brother, and finds that he bumps into a bigger liar, a bigger cheater, you know, than he was. Laban took him to school, if you remember that story. Got all kinds of years of forced labor out of him. And so I've always been fascinated toward the end of the story when Jacob wakes up and he realizes that tomorrow I've got to go meet my brother. Tomorrow I got to go see Esau. And he already swore he was going to kill me. He already swore he was going to murder me next time he saw me. And so I've got to go meet him. That had to be one of the hardest nights in his life. And in the story, in Scripture, it says that he wrestled with God or with an angel or, you know, I don't think that is so important as that he wrestled with somebody way above his weight class. Way above his weight class. And with immeasurably more skill on the mat than he had. So what he brought to the fight was smart aleck Jacob, who had lied and deceived. And that's about all he brought with him. That's like 115 versus 210. You know, and the other guy had massive ninja skills. What's interesting is they fought all night. And so you know that God was messing with him. God was messing with him all night long, you know, twirling him around and giving Jacob hope, oh, this move will work. And no, it didn't work, did it? You know? Oh, you thought you had me reversed. No, that didn't work. You thought you had me locked up. No, that didn't work. I actually have you locked up. So all night they go, and the angel God, whoever it was, looks and says, oh, it's the sun's about to come up. I've got to get out of here. This wrestling match is over. And Jacob says, no, this has been sheer agony. My whole life has been agony. And this night has been the most agonizing that I've ever had. I will not turn you loose until you bless me. I won't do it until you bless me. Where is the grace in this fight? Where is the grace in this pain? I need to know where the grace is. It's got to be here somewhere. And so the blessing he got was God got a hold of his leg and wrenched it out of joint. Boom. So from then on, every step he took, he walked with a limp. Every step he took, he said, I wrestled with God. Ouch, that hurts. Every step he took is, I'm not near what I thought I was. You know, I'm not the daddy rabbit I thought I was. I'm not the wrestler I thought I was. I'm not the con artist I thought I was. And so the blessing with Jacob is that God said, I'm going to give you a clear picture of who you've always been and you've just never known it. You've always walked with a limp. You just didn't know it. Now you know it. Now you feel it every step you take. That was his blessing. This self-clarity of finally discovering who he really, really was. And so when I look at pain and I look at the painful times I've been through, and I think most of you would attest to this, your most painful situations have turned into very soul-searching moments. You have to do a lot of serious introspection, and you find in those wrestling matches with the divine, you find that you too get a blessing, and that blessing is, now I have a clearer picture of who I am. One of the biggest blessings in life, stop and think about this, one of the biggest blessings we have in life is to discover who we really are. God had something in mind back when he created us. He had something very clear in mind when he created us. And life has a way of blurring that and adding stuff to it and muddying it all up and just making it indistinguishable. So who am I? And what is all this stuff that's been talked to me? I don't know the difference between the two. Who is the essential me, and what is all this other junk? I don't know where one starts and the other one ends. And so our moments of pain, that's not the only time, but our moments of pain are a chance to get this self-clarity to where we can distinguish between the Velcro that's been stuck on us and the essential us that God had in mind when he made us. So to waste a wrestling match, I mean, Jacob just refused to waste it. To waste a wrestling match and say, no, I'm not going to waste all these years wasted with Laban, all the fear I've had toward Esau, and this agonizing night on the wrestling mat. I'm not going to waste this without a blessing. And God said, okay, I'll give you one. And he gave him this moment of self-clarity. Can I get a witness here? I mean, when you've been in a 12-step group, when you've been in what we do here for a while, You know those moments. You've had them. Where all of a sudden you realize, I never realized that about myself before. Aren't those some of the most blessed moments in your life? And I'm not talking being self-centered, it's all about me. But now I kind of know what to do with this. This life that God has given me, now I kind of know what to do with it. Because I'm beginning to see who I am. And it's not, oh, I just got to know what God's will for my life is. That's not it. I don't even like looking at it that way. It's like, I just want to be the me that God had in mind when he made me. That's what I want. But I don't know who that person is. Pain is one of the best ways to discover who we are. And so that is one of the biggest part of where grace shows up in pain. The last thing I want to say is this, is that in spite of what organized religion has, or bad religion, let's put it that way, has taught us, God is not just in the beauty and in the love. God is in the pain. And he's not just kind of in the pain. Okay, God really shows up in love and he really shows up in beauty. And he'll just drop by in pain. He won't stay, but he'll just drop by. God is in the pain. I mean, if the life of Jesus and the suffering of Jesus doesn't say anything else, it says that. I am in the pain. I endured the pain. I didn't pay it a visit. I didn't drop by. I lived in it. I died in it. I suffered it with you. So God and grace are in pain just as fully as in love and in beauty. And I just want to say a few things that I think are redundant. I think we've said them over and over. But I just feel like they need to be said at the close of a discussion like this. I feel like we need to be reminded of them. It's nothing new. We just need to be reminded. God is deeply moved when we are hurt. Have you ever been hurt and thought God is saying to himself, well, now you finally got what you deserved? I have felt that in the past. Now I realize when I am hurt, God is deeply, deeply moved. He feels my pain. He's not sorry for me. He's sorry. He's not hurting. What's the word? He's not sympathizing. He's empathizing. He's right there hurting with me. God is never baffled or intimidated by our pain or his. That's one of the dark sides of pain, is the confusion aspect. Because pain will drive you right into confusion. We're just not ready for it. We don't know what to do. We're disoriented in pain. And one thing is that God is never baffled or intimidated or confused by pain. It's not that he likes it. It's not that he's good, you know, oh, this is fun. Let's have some fun with some pain. It's just that when I'm in my dark place and my confused place, I know that God's there with me and he is not confused. And he is not baffled. And he is not intimidated by my pain. The third thing is, well, obviously, God doesn't run or shy away from painful situations. Jesus marched to the cross. You know, he didn't duck and hide, and they didn't have to drag him there. He carried his cross and he went. God goes into pain. He doesn't run away from it. So he doesn't run away or shy away from pain. And here's the thing that Wayne and I have been talking about here lately, and we're just touching the tip of the iceberg. God believes in the power of grace. Do you believe in the power of grace? Oh, no, we need rules and regulations to get people to do what we want them to do. We need a cattle prod. We need order. We need, you know, all these boundaries, and we need to, yeah, you do need some of those things. But we have focused on that for so long that we have begun to believe that grace has no power, that we have the power to make people do what we want them to do and to make people change the way we want them to change. And God says, no, I believe in the power of grace. I believe in the power of love. And so God says, when you're hurting, when you're in total agony, I believe in the power of grace to make something beautiful and lovely out of this. Don't know how, you know, we don't know how it's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen. But he believes in the power of grace to redeem that moment, to redeem that situation, to redeem that pain, and do what's supposed to be done. The pain may not diminish. That's what we assume, right? If God's going to redeem this pain, that means the pain's got to go away, and then we'll see grace. No. Grace is active in the pain. And God makes something beautiful in the pain. And God makes something lovely in the pain. Because he believes so profoundly in the power of grace and the power of love in the middle of that. I had a dream the other night. I've never been to one of these places. Maybe some of you have. But I hear in some places, and we've talked about this before, that they have drive-by funeral homes. You don't go in and view the body. You go by and look in a window, and then they have this little thing you can sign to say, I went and viewed the body. And the idea is that we want to insulate ourselves from that pain. We don't want anybody to see us cry. We don't want to take a chance of breaking down in public. And so you simply drive by, you sign the registry, and you drive on out. And the family knows that you've paid your respects. And, you know, and I see your faces, you're like, really? There are places that do this. I had a dream the other night that there was this big brass building. This dream is not going to make any sense to you at all, but I'm going to tell it anyway. There was this big brass building that had a little skinny sidewalk, and then the street was right there. You know what I'm saying? No lawn, just big, like looked like brass windows, and you couldn't see in, like sunglasses that you can't see through, whatever you call those, and a little skinny sidewalk, and it was circular, and the road went right around it. And I was driving in a car that would not obey my speed. It was going to go its own speed no matter how I tried to control it. I was driving around this building. I couldn't see in. And all of a sudden, I realized this was one of those funeral homes. In my dream, you know how dreams are, they're weird. This is one of those funeral homes. And I thought, there's somebody in there I love, and I want to go see them. And in my dream, it was like, no, you can't go see them. And I thought, well, surely there'll be a window. I've heard of these places. There'll be a window that I can look in and at least see them. And it just, these shiny windows just kept coming by. And I was whizzing around this building. And I thought, show me the door. Somebody show me the door or the window or something. I want to make connection with that pain. I want to make connection with that person there. And the dream ended with me just going around and around this building. I couldn't stop the car. And I couldn't see in. And I remember the feeling of, I'm missing out on the pain. I'm missing out on the connection. I'm missing out on the grace, you know. And the thing is we were driving our new little car that we love so well. It's a little Ford Escape that we just got. And we love it because it's got bells and whistles that we never had before. And somebody pushed one of those bells that wouldn't let it stop. And we were just going round and around and around. I said, I love this car. It's such a fun car. But I want to make connection in there. And I can't make connection in there. And I remember waking up thinking, screw this stupid car. I want to get in there. And I remember just waking up so frustrated. And I thought, this is the culture we live in today. We have our nice cars and we drive around and around and around and around the building. And they don't even bother to put a door or a viewing window in them anymore. Because we're so scared of pain. We're so scared of discomfort. We're so scared of inconvenience. This is part of life, and this is one of the, I don't want to say let's be happy and throw a party when we hurt. I'm not saying that. Don't run from pain, and don't see it as something evil. Know that there is grace in the pain, and know that God is in the pain, and know that there is human connection in the pain, and know that if we allow it, it may wrench our leg out of joint, and we may walk with a limp that will remind us every step we take of who we are, which sounds horrid, but is a very good thing. Where's the grace and pain? Maybe we've scratched the surface. I don't know. But I want to live, I don't know how many years I got left, but I know I'm going to hurt worse than I've ever hurt before. That's just what aging does. It just, you hurt worse than you've hurt before. But in the pain, I want to know the grace. I want to connect with other people, and I want to see the grace and the potential of grace in the pain that God sees. So it's going to be an adventure. I was going to say it's going to be a fun adventure. Let's take the fun out. It's just going to be an adventure. Let's see what happens. Thank you all. We got one more song to do.